It's great to see everyone. A lot of people have been asking, how you doing, Richard? I can tell you my brain is fried. Totally gone down to mush. I'm doing the ethics part of the bar exam tomorrow morning. That's going to be it. But I'll tell you more on Sunday. It was very hard. No question about it. But I'm glad I'm standing. I finished. I just don't know how I did. We'll find out come November 1st. But thank you for all your prayers. But it wasn't easy. But it's great to be back. Good to see you guys. And tonight we're going to continue in studying the book of Exodus. But before we get to that, go ahead and mark your calendars. Sunday, September 26th. Sunday, September 26th. We're going to have a guest speaker from the London church. A very good friend of mine that I've known for, golly, over 2 decades now. He leads the southeastern region of the London church. His name is Tok Sholu. He's British. But you think I'm intense? You need to see Tok's. And you need to hear him. He is something else. But he's going to be our guest speaker that Sunday on the 26th. So go ahead and mark that down. It's all set, and he's going to be coming. And also, I was talking to Cesar Lopez yesterday. I'm trying to get him to come. He leads the church in Cambodia. I'm trying to get him to come the week before, on the 19th, with his wife, Jennifer. He was here a couple of years ago, and he promised to come back with her. Okay, he's married to the real Jennifer Lopez. Okay? He's going to let me know in the next couple of days. So prayerfully, back to back, you know, those Sundays, we're going to have guest speakers. You know that I always take advantage of every guest speaker I can get. The conference is going to be in Miami the weekend of September 23rd. And so you have a lot of people flying from all over the world. And so hopefully I can get Cesar here the Sunday before the conference, and then Tok's here for sure the Sunday after. And so that's all set. So I'm looking forward to it. Those guys are great men of God, great preachers, and I think we're going to be very encouraged to hear what God is doing, not only in London, but also in Cambodia and other parts of the world. Amen? But tonight, we're going to continue in Exodus, and the title of the lesson tonight is Trusting God Through the Journey. And so without further ado, our brother Mike Crowell is going to be speaking to us.
Amen. How we doing? Amen. Amen. I heard a brother say the other week, it says, it looks good from up here, seeing everyone. Why don't we start with a word of prayer? Amen. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this day, dear God, a day, Father, by which, Father, we've never seen, dear God, in a day, God, that you, Father, have seen us through, Father, up to this point. God, thank you so much, God, for the brothers and sisters, God. Thank you so much for your word. I pray, God, that your name will be lifted up, that your son Jesus' name will be lifted up tonight, God, and you will get all the glory, honor, and praise. Father, we love you so much. We're so thankful and grateful for this time. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to start reading in verse 7. We're talking about trusting God through the journey. You know, Exodus is an amazing book. It covers so many issues and struggles with sin that we still face today as a society and as a body of Christ. You know, it is a journey through the life of people that are just like us. And we're all on a journey. We hear Richard talk about it all the time. Being on a journey. This is a journey. We're strangers and aliens here on earth.
That's right. Yep.
You know, in our reading today, you know, we're going to hear about the people of Israel leaving Egypt and escaping through the Red Sea. You know, this story is the rise and fall of people from power. And we've all struggled with this whole power thing and the rise and fall of it, whether it's at our jobs or whether it's right here in the church. We've struggled with that. Sometimes we think of this story, we think of the Red Sea. You know, people think that it was all wonderful. You know, all they had to do was, you know, follow the pillar of cloud by the day and follow the pillar of fire by night. Just wasn't that simple. It was not that simple. You know, reading a little closer, the people were not always trusting God. You know, we all know this story. They were not trusting God at all. And sometimes God leads us through the desert to help us trust his guidance. Exodus 3. We're going to start reading at verse 7. The Lord says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And I'll stop right there. This journey sounds pretty simple, and it sounds very, very inviting. God is like, you know what? I'm going to take you into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Shouldn't take that long. I mean, it shouldn't take that long at all. I mean, if I put myself in one of the Israelites' place, you know, I'm thinking, okay, that's not that far. You know, all we need to do is cross the little Sinai Peninsula, and we'll be there. It's a done deal. You know, come on, let's go. You know, and then we'll pretty much be there. But that wasn't the case. You know, this trip actually could have took a matter of weeks for the Israelites. It really could have took a matter of weeks, or maybe less. Some say it was about 200 to 225 miles to the Promised Land. You know, for me, that's a round trip. That's a trip to Macon and back. Doesn't seem that far. You know, you see, once they're finally delivered from Egypt, God leads them in a direction that they did not expect to go. You know, and as Christians, we don't all the time want to go into the direction that God wants us to go. We fight against where God is leading us. My first point is we need to be prepared to be led around the desert. Around by the desert, I'm sorry. Exodus 13. We're going to skip around in Exodus. It's a great, great book. Exodus 13. I'm going to start in verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God says, if they face war, they might change their mind and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succum and the camp at Etham on the edge of the desert, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. You're talking about being secure as a people. Imagine that today, if God spoke through us, to us, and said, hey, listen, I'm going to give you this pillar of cloud. All you need to do is follow it. You know, that would be pretty simple. God took his people a way that I want to call the roundabout way. You know, it wasn't the way that they wanted to go. It wasn't the way they expected to go, and not at all the quickest way. All the people had to do was to cross, like I said, the Sinai Peninsula. In fact, they didn't even have to do it on their own. You know, we talk about GPS. They had a supersonic GPS system. I mean, they had an incredible GPS system, you know, to lead them. So imagine, put yourself in one of the Israelites' place, and after the pillar had started to move, you realize it was taking you the wrong way. And what do you do? What do you do with that? They were expecting to go one way, but the pillar was taking them in the opposite direction. Can we relate, church? You know, sometimes God says, go over here, but we have something else that's telling us to go this way. You know, my wife talks to me about that all the time, about, you know, hey, listen, you know, here's the directions. We need to keep with the directions. And with me, I want to go the opposite direction. So God is teaching us a lesson in this. You know, maybe that GPS system needed their maps updated. Maybe that's what the Israelites were thinking. They need their maps updated. They didn't understand what was going on. God was supposed to be leading them to the promised land. So why were we headed to the desert? So my question is to the church, will we follow God even when we don't understand where he's leading us? You know, a lot of us have been Christians a long time. And the Bible says, walk by faith and not by sight. And a lot of times for the years that I've been a Christian, I didn't understand what was going on. You know, why would we have to travel to, you know, downtown to go to church? Why would we have to travel to the north side of town to go to church? But my attitude in my heart was, hey, listen, this is God's church. If it's God's church, I'm doing it. Amen? Amen. You know, will God's people follow him when following him doesn't make sense? You know, one of God's qualities that can be the most frustrating to somebody like me is that God never seems to move in a hurry. He's never in a hurry. God is never in a hurry. I'm an impatient man by nature. And God is very, very, you know, he takes his time and he makes sure everything's right. But my sinful nature, I want to move. I want it, and I want it now. I don't want to wait. You know, the roundabout way of the desert was no minor detour. We all know how long the Israelites spent in the desert. They spent 40 years in the desert. The desert is a place where you don't want to go. Now, who in here has been in the desert? Yeah. So you can relate that that's not a place where you want to go. You know, how has your journey in the desert been? You know, I think about my particular journey. You know, I had a son that was born with sickle cell disease, and that was tough, finding out when he was one that he had sickle cell, and at the same time having a daughter who was born premature and was 2 pounds at birth. And so that was something that really didn't make a lot of sense to me when it came to God. And I questioned and I cried and I prayed. But you know what? God is not in a hurry. God is going to lead you in the right direction. He's going to allow the right things to happen when they need to happen. I had a coffee shop in 1999. I went in with some brothers and sisters in the church, and it was huge for me. I was like, wow, this is wonderful. I'm an owner of a coffee shop. You know, and it went on for about maybe a year. You know, things were great. You know, the fellowship was great. People were coming in. But then something happened. You know, people stopped coming to the coffee shop. And all of a sudden, the ownership was not united. And before I knew it, I was $365,000 in debt. And I was like, no, not in the kingdom of God. This can't be happening in the kingdom of God. But you know what? God does not err. And praise God, he worked it out where we were able to sell the business and get out from up under it. And during that time, a few of the brothers and sisters left the church. And there's a couple of brothers and sisters in here now that can remember that coffee shop that actually helped me construct that coffee shop. You see, church, God's way is rarely the quickest way and seldom the easiest way, but it's always the best way. Amen. Turn over to Exodus 14. My second point is the desert is a place where we learn patience. I need to work on that. Exodus 14, starting in verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us up out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. See, the Israelites wanted to get out of Egypt so bad, they began considering the quickest fix. They began to want to get out of the desert so bad. I apologize. That they began to consider the quickest fix, and that was to go back to Egypt. How about us? Do we ever think about going back? This is too rough. It's been a long journey. I can't do this anymore. You know, it's tough. At times, I imagine they had to decide, hey, if the pillar sits here today, do I just sit here with it? Do I just sit here in this hot desert and wait until it decides to move? Exodus 16, 19. We're skipping around Exodus here. We're going to talk a little bit about this whole manna business. You know, the Israelites were complaining about not having enough food. You know, God says, you know what? I'm going to bring down manna for you. You know, but there's a condition. Just get enough for the day. Do not try to take some home and store it. In verse 19, it says, then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. See, the Israelites, they got impatient with this manna business. They got tired of having to wonder each and every day whether there would be enough for the next day. You know, and from my reading, manna has a very, very short shelf life. It does not stay. The people had to trust that God was gonna feed them every day, and they were gonna have the same meal every single day. Now, what about us on that? Let's talk about leftovers. Now, I personally don't like leftovers, but I eat leftovers. So can you imagine having boiled chicken on Monday. What are we having Tuesday, honey? Boiled chicken. What are we having on Wednesday? Boiled chicken. Thursday, boiled chicken. This is what the Israelites had to deal with. But God was supplying their needs. You know, today, you know, God is feeding us day in and day out. Amen. With his word. Amen. You know, we have a great church here. We have a great leadership group here that is really helping to mature the church. Amen. You know, so think of yourself as one of the Israelites. Because even when you do not trust God, we often, even when we have enough, we often grow ungrateful because we don't have what we want. You know, let us not fool ourselves. We're like the Israelites. The people didn't listen, nor did they trust God. They were impatient, and they took matters into their own hand. Sometimes we can do that as Christians. You know, we can say, you know what? I know what the Bible says, but I'm not doing it. I'm going to do what I need to do. Because this is what my spirit is telling me I need to do. See, the desert is a place where you learn to trust. It's where you learn the kind of patience that allows us to trust. You know, do we have a marriage retreat coming up, right? Amen. Amen. We have some marriage in the house?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. My question to the marriage is, will you be patiently obedient to God into your marriage? Will we submit to God's will in our marriage? You know, will we love our spouses one day at a time? Will there be grace in our marriages? Will there be unconditional love in our marriages? We have singles in here as well. I know, somewhere. Amen. Amen. Will God be enough for us? You know, will we patiently wait on the Lord and what he has in store for us? You know, the book of Psalms in Psalms 37, verse 4, it talks about, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, if we commit to God's will and his purpose for us, we don't need to worry about anything. We just need to wait patiently on the Lord. And the Israelites had two choices. They could just be patient in the desert and wait, or head on back to Egypt and deal with Pharaoh. So they didn't have a lot of choices there. Exodus 13, I'm going to flip back. Exodus 13 and verse 17, I'm going to read that again. It says, when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them through on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God says, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. See, there was a direct route from Egypt to the promised land. But God was like, they're not ready. They're not ready. They're not ready. And he had to take the people, you know, through the desert because he knew that there was a hostile road ahead that they would truly be afraid of if they had to deal with that. So the people were afraid, and so God had to take time to develop their character by taking them around by the desert. See, the point is, God is not as concerned with where his people are going. He is more concerned about who they will be when they get there. See, God is really concerned about our hearts and character. You know, the Bible says that we will be transformed into his likeness. And this road is tough. This journey's been tough. But God wants us to hold on, keep the faith, keep praying, stick together as a family, and we will make it to the end. And the truth is, you know, if it's going to be said, is that it took one night to get the people of Israel out of Egypt, but it took 40 years to get Egypt out of the people of Israel. And only a few made it to the promised land. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, it says, these things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. And when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God is great, isn't he?
Amen.
My third point is God, the desert is a place where we learn to love him. You know, in the desert, you know, there's not a lot around in the desert. There's no fast food. There's not a lot of water. You know, it's just, you're just outdoors. And you're hot. And so you're wanting to cry out. You're wanting to talk to God. Let's look over in Exodus 40. We're going to read in verse 36. Talks about the glory of the Lord. It says, in all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. So the cloud of the Lord was over the tabernacle by day, and fire was in the cloud by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel during all their travels. See, God is right there in the desert.
Yep.
And we should be thankful to be on this journey.
Amen. Amen.
We should be grateful for other brothers and sisters that are on this journey with us.
Yeah.
Because we're not alone. We have God and we have each other. You know, when you feel like you've lost everything and nothing is going right for you, God has to be enough. The loss of a job, you know, it's been tough these last few years. You know, sick spouses, sick children, God has to be enough.
That's right.
Will you trust him on this journey through life? And I'm going to close by saying, you know, while this journey may seem difficult at times, we have to understand that we have an inheritance waiting for us.
That's right.
And I'm excited about that.
Amen.
I'm excited about being in a place where there's no more crying.
Yep.
There's no more sickle cell.
Amen.
There's no more kids being born premature. There's no more dying. And I can walk on streets of gold.
Amen.
And I'll see all my friends, all my brothers and sisters. That is going to be a wonderful day.
Amen.
And it's going to be our home.
That's right.
Forever.
Amen.
You know, Richard talks about it all the time. Is that, hey, I think about heaven all the time. You know, I was reading my Bible the other day, and it was saying that the clouds are the dust of God's footprints. And I just started looking up in the clouds. I was like, wow, God is everywhere. He's walking everywhere. Everything is within his reach and within his sight. He will not let us down. Let us never be fooled into abandoning the journey. we must make in order to reach the promised land. Amen?
Amen.
To God be the glory.
Amen. Amen. You know, it's always it's very encouraging when you hear God's word preached, because it says the same thing. It doesn't matter who it is. And I love it when other brothers get up and just preach the word. For two reasons. Number one, I get a chance to rest. But secondly, you know, because the Bible is so consistent, the Bible is God's word and it's so true, it's just always refreshing to hear somebody else preach the word and bring their own style and their own character and person into the message. And I hope you're refreshed, you know, because the truth of the matter is, if all you heard every week was just me, you'll be very bored. Okay, I'm not that good a preacher, and I know that, and so I'm very excited that over the last few weeks, you know, Danny started us off, and I got a chance to, you know, say one or two things. Ross McGar stepped up, Mike stepped up tonight, and then next week we're gonna wrap it up with Harold. I'm just very excited that all these brothers are coming up and just preaching the word once more. Church, let's show our appreciation to my crowd. Great job. And I'll tell you one thing. Another thing this whole thing has done, and I'm encouraged by this, because, you know, other brothers on their own, hey, Richard, you know, give me a chance. I'd love to preach. Awesome. Okay, because, you know, God's word needs to be preached. The only thing I would say is, don't wait till you get to behind this pulpit. Okay? Every single day, you have an opportunity to preach the word. Amen. When you are at the job, I mean, yes, you may not have a pulpit and a microphone, but you got someone in front of you, open up the Bible. Amen. And it's an amazing thing. Amen? Amen? And one of these days, we'll get you up here. Amen? It's been a great evening. Sunday, we'll be back at Meadow Creek, and I'll be speaking. Okay? I'm looking forward to it. I got a lot to say, but you hear it all on Sunday. But it's been a great summer. I know a lot of us parents were looking forward to the kids going back to school next week. They're not looking forward to it, but we are. You know, I know even tonight, a lot of the moms, where the kids are starting high school, they're over at their high schools tonight doing, I forget what they call it. But it's going to be a great weekend. And then Sunday afternoon, like it's been announced, for all the teen parents, we're going to be at Shiloh praying for our children and for all the other kids. As school begins, like it's our tradition. We do it for high school, at the high school, and I believe middle school is right across the street at the Shiloh Middle School. And we try and move around to all the different high schools. But this year, we're going to be at Shiloh. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to say one more prayer, and then that's going to be it. Derek, could you come forward, please, and lead us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to be dismissed for the evening. We'll see each other Sunday.